This is Techstrong TV.
Winter driving can be challenging for even the most experienced motorists, but new science and technology innovations are making it easier to navigate this season's harshest weather conditions. Joining me now is Dr. Heather Reeves, a research scientist at the University of Oklahoma, who is working collaboratively with the National Weather Service on these innovations. Dr. Reeves, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We're happy to have you on TechStrong TV. If you could tell me a little bit about yourself and a general overview of the work that you're doing.
Great. So I'm a research scientist and I'm a meteorologist by trade. And I've gotten very interested in how weather impacts the transportation sector. And as a result, I started working on that. And now I lead a team of researchers, of other passionate people about this same topic. And so we're interested in things like weather impacts on the aviation sector, on road transportation, and also on marine transport as well. So these are the types of things that we do. And we develop decision support tools. By decision support tools, I mean, these are tools that lead the meteorologist from the point of here's the weather to here's the impact the weather's likely to have on people and their day-to-day decisions.
That is so important because a lot of us do hear about the weather, but people don't know how to apply it, especially in business. And I understand this is a new technology that you've been working on, determining road conditions and predicting them as well, because as we know in meteorology, there's a big difference when you have temperature fluctuation, whether a road is going to be freezing or just a little bit slick. Can you talk more about the technology that you've been working on to determine these changing factors?
Yeah, road temperature is really the critical linchpin in whether or not you're going to have snow or ice accumulate on the road. Or if it's snowing and the road temperature is above freezing, it'll start to melt. But sometimes it just turns into slush and you still lose traction that way. Sometimes it melts completely into rain. So this is really important information for decision support. And should the roads be plowed? What kinds of treatment should go on the roads? We started researching this topic by looking at actual road temperature observations. So some state DOTs embed thermometers in the road pavement itself. So we know what temperature those roads are, at least in those places. And we discovered that there's a lot of spatial and temporal variability in whether or not the roads are sub-freezing, this critical decision point. Are they sub-freezing? You can have one lane of traffic where the road is above freezing, and then in the opposite side of the road, the opposite direction, maybe it's below freezing because there's different amounts of traffic or shading or there's something about that side of the road that's different. So we worked to use these observations in concert with other data that we had to create a probabilistic tool. So this gives a probability that the road temperatures are sub-freezing or that they will be sub-freezing, as opposed to trying to make a deterministic declaration of it is or it isn't. That way, the forecaster can use their best judgment and say, in this circumstance, I think we need to be more conservative. I'm going to message a more conservative outlook, or I don't think we need to worry today, so I'm going to message a more optimistic outlook to my stakeholders.
Can you explain a little bit more about the technology behind these tools and how developers really began to break it down to make these determinations?
Yeah, we use the, like I said, the road pavement thermometers. We use data from that over several years to do what's called machine learning. Machine learning is just a big pot where you just dump in the relevant data and then you allow the computer to figure out, make all those teleconnections of how these various things connect to each other and may result in a certain outcome. So the particular tool that we use is called a random forest, and a random forest provides us with a certain number. I think we had 100 members in our forest, or 100 trees, if you will, in our forest, and each forest gives a binary prediction of yes or no, the road is sub-freezing, and then across this entire forest of yes or no decisions, then we declare probability. If 50% of the trees say the road is sub-freezing and 50 say it's not, then it's a 50% probability.
That's really interesting. Were there any challenges that you faced along the way when using machine learning to come up with these probabilities?
Yeah, data curation is a big problem for machine learning because the old proverb of garbage in, garbage out for computer science certainly holds when it's applied to machine learning. So going through and figuring out whether or not those road temperature observations are robust was a real challenge for us. It's common for these things to become uncalibrated, and we needed to figure out whether that was a problem or just to start reporting some bizarre observations and or to be damaged during snowplow, snow removal efforts. And so just going through and figuring out when is this observation good and pulling them out so that we could train with robust data was a real challenge.
Was there anything that surprised you in this work? I think that as a meteorologist, you're certainly experienced in forecasting these conditions, but as you took a deeper dive into this project and implemented the machine learning, is there anything that you found that you thought, wow, I never thought that it would show this in terms of the modeling?
Yeah, I really, we started looking at the output from this predictive model and comparing it to what was happening. And we were running it in what's called an analysis type capacity. So it wasn't really a forecast. It was, this is what it is right now with all the information we have. And is what it's telling us consistent with what we see when we look at traffic camera? We love looking at traffic camera pictures in our team. We look at it every week. We're looking at traffic camera pictures. What do we see with our eye versus what is the artificial intelligence telling us? And the thing that captured our attention is the frequency of events where we're still seeing something happening on the road in spite of the fact that the road or the probability of the road being sub-freezing is near zero. So we expect the road temperatures are above freezing, but there's still some apparent accumulations. We actually had that here in Norman, Oklahoma yesterday. The road temperatures were quite warm, but we had this snowfall here, a snowstorm, and these were enormous snowflakes. I've rarely seen snowflakes this big, and I grew up in Michigan. Yeah. So these are just monstrous. Some of them 1 to 2 inches in diameter, these large aggregates. And we were starting to see slush accumulate even on the highway outside my office window. And I think that's simply because of the nature of what was falling. There was a lot of it. And these are really big flakes, which take a little bit more time to melt. They have a lot of air around them, so they're well insulated. So the frequency of that and the importance of that was something I hadn't fully appreciated until we got into this project.
That is so fascinating. I wonder if machine learning can pick up those variations, like large size snowflakes that are somewhat unusual, that you wouldn't see them as large as you were saying in everyday storms.
Well, that's an interesting idea, Bonnie. We haven't looked into that particular thing because this is just if the road temperature is above or below freezing, and it's not telling us anything about what's falling on the road. But
that's,
you know, now that you mentioned it, I think that's a good idea for research, is to see, can we get some idea about the character of the snow? How big are these snowflakes? How are they partially melted by the time that they're hitting the road? That might be an interesting application.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if you're looking at the temperature at different levels of the atmosphere as a data point to put in there. But it's amazing the work that you've done so far. You mentioned that this is going to be looked at by Department of Transportation for different cities, probably where this is a big issue in northern cities where we have that freezing mix, and those temperature variations can make such a difference in terms of not just the everyday commute, but getting emergency vehicles where they need to be and not having the traffic slowdowns. Do you see this research that you're doing being implemented not just into the public sector, but into the private sector as well?
Yeah, right now we're targeting the National Weather Service, and how they disseminate that information will be up to them. They're very likely going to be disseminating the information in the form of messages, either telephone calls, chats, or graphics that they create, specially tuned for their stakeholders like state DOTs, public schools, and the like. But certainly this is something that could be licensed and used in the private sector.
And we talked about some of the tools that you're using. How do you see the API aspect of this?
Well, right now, this data or this tool is targeted for National Weather Service operations, and all of the National Weather, they're responsible for disseminating the data that they produce. Whether or not this will be produced and available to the public is a choice that the National Weather Service will have to make. I can't really comment on that. But
no,
they
problem.
Do disseminate a lot of things publicly. I just don't know if this one will, because
yeah,
we're right on the edge of the public-private partnership with this particular tool.
That's a really good point. Now, do you also use focus groups in your research?
Yes, in fact, last winter we conducted several focus groups. These were with National Weather Service forecasters because this is their first exposure to this kind of a thing. And so we presented them with a tool, we presented them with the package or the software package in which it'll be embedded, and started asking them, where do you see the implications for this, or the points of application in your daily operations? When would you use it? How would you use it? What do you need in order to use it intelligently? And then we're hoping in out years to start involving other stakeholders in these conversations, like the partnering DOTs or emergency managers.
That is great. Now that we're in a new year and we're coming into the heart of winter, certainly, what are you working on now going forward as we're into 2023 with this project and with road sensors and the technology you were describing?
Well, now we're starting to target the next steps. The first step was, is the road subfreezing or not? Now the next step is there something that's going to accumulate on it or not? And if so, what will it be like? If it's freezing rain, will I be able to see it, or will it be black ice? If it's snow, will it stay as snow? Will it melt? What will happen with it once it hits that road surface? Or if it's rain, has it rained lately? If it hasn't rained for a long time, you can have this accumulation of oil and silt on the road, and just that little bit of water, same thing as ice, can be very slippery. And so now we're getting to that point of decision. So now we have the information we need to know what will happen. And then now that we can say that, we can say, what should you do?
Well, Dr. Heather Reeves, thank you so much for your insight and your time. As we navigate the roads this winter, we'll be thinking about this valuable research that you're doing with the University of Oklahoma and the National Weather Service, and how they'll be putting all this great information out there for people to stay safe. I really appreciate you joining me on TechStrong TV.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, stay with us. We're going to have a lot more news coming up.